Blog Talk Radio.
I release all disappointment from my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Higher Consciousness. And this is part two of our celebration of Black History Month. I am so honored to have you this evening and to have the opportunity to meet with you and talk with you. This evening, we have three things that we will do. We will pay a special tribute to the late, great Miss Whitney Houston, as well as highlight Miss Fina Oria. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly, or Oriah, our guest speaker. Additionally, I will give the history of Valentine's Day. So again, we have three things that we're doing this evening. The first is I'm going to pay a special tribute to the late, great Whitney Houston, and then I'm going to give the tribute the time that it deserves. And we will have a featured speaker this evening, Ms. Fina Oria, who is a phenomenal author in person. And then I'm going to give you the history of Valentine's Day before Fina comes on to talk about her book, Before 7:30. And that's the name of her book. My name is Professor Jamila Franklin, and I am the host and creator of the show, Higher Consciousness. And I always give background information for our new listeners. Currently, I teach psychology at colleges, and I have a private counseling practice. I am a certified Reiki master, an energy medicine practitioner, certified metaphysician, life coach, author, and certified aromatherapist in the greater Atlanta, Georgia area, more specifically Stone Mountain. And I always discuss the reason for my developing the show Higher Consciousness. I wanted to have a forum for discussions about metaphysics, about spirituality, holistic psychotherapy, holistic health, holistic nutrition, and about divine relationships, which is something we're going to discuss this evening, and the law of attraction, and divine prosperity, and universal laws. On some of the shows, we will have featured guests, like we had the wonderful opportunity last week to have two phenomenal women on the show, Ms. Kim Green, who is a wonderful and very, very talented author, who also wrote the autobiography of Fantasia Barrino, who was the 2004 American Idol winner. And Kim's novel became the television movie highlighting Fantasia's life. And I'm just so very proud of Kim because that's a major accomplishment. And we had Jackie Chester, who is an exceptional playwright and jeweler and model. And Jacqueline wrote the play, A Conversation Between President Barack Obama and Malcolm X. And I would invite everyone who in the Atlanta, Georgia area to definitely see the play, and for people in other areas to request to have the play come to your city. It's just phenomenal. And you can get more information about these two exceptional women on my website, which is archived. All the shows are archived, so if you're not able to hear a show live, you can always listen to them later on. Higher Consciousness is a two-hour show that will allow listeners to delve into topics at a higher vibrational level The only ground rule is that everyone gives respect when expressing opinions. And in doing so, this rule automatically raises your vibrational level so that you will receive respect as well. So, again, I'm going to introduce tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is the celebration of Black History Month 2, Valentine's Day celebration, and a tribute to the late, great Whitney Houston. And our guest speaker again is Fina Oraya. If you want to join in the discussion, please call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. And for those of you who use the internet, you will just type in http://tobtr.com/s/4/4379461. Internet users, you will still have to call 1-818-572-8023 and press 1 if you want to join in on the discussion, and only one call at a time. Again, this is Higher Consciousness, and I am Professor Jamila Franklin, and the purpose of my show is to connect you on a heart-to-heart and soul-to-soul level. And this is not a show for intellectual debates. Instead, this show is dedicated to those who truly want to learn and grow spiritually and to heal. Last week for our first show on Black History Month, we had 6 listeners who listened via their computers, and we had 7 live callers. And most of the listeners joined the show later on or listened to the show after it is archived. And so we had 917 downloads since last Monday. That's one of the highest numbers we've had since the show has debuted. And this means that over 917 people have downloaded the Higher Consciousness program since last week. And as always, I am so very thankful to each of you. And I started the show October the 22nd, 2012. And since then, we have had 14,611 listens, which includes the live calls, and this is in less than 4 months. So I'm very, very, very appreciative. So that's almost like 4,000 shows, I mean 4,000 downloads per month. And again, remember, if you can't join us live, go to the website and you can hear all of the shows, which are archived. Now, even though we may be living a divine life and know who we are and know about the I Am presence within us, sometimes we still experience fear, which causes us to remain in the matrix due to not understanding the law of attraction. And we talked about the Mayan prophecy in December with Kaya Aman, my wonderful guest and Reiki master. And I know that many of you have experienced a shift in your consciousness and in your bodies since December the 21st, which was the last day of the Mayan calendar. Now, this is our 5th show for 2013. And now what you should be claiming for this new year, anything prior to 2013 is no longer in effect energetically. What that means is that it's taking less time for your words and your thoughts to create your reality. So if you speak something, like we say in the law of attraction, it's coming to you faster. The time delay has been shortened immensely. So only speak the things that you want to happen. Only think the thoughts that you want to happen, because they will happen, and they will happen faster. And only focus on the things that are higher vibrational. The fear element is no longer ruling the planet. Prior to 2013, fear had a grip on a lot of people within this country and within the world. People were afraid of the economy. They're afraid for their jobs. They were afraid of their neighbors. Fear had just gripped our hearts. And it was just so, so unfortunate and so sad to witness, to see people allowing that matrix thinking to control them. So that is no longer the reality. Now, Reiki is a universal energy power, and we talked about that. So the controlling energy now is universal love, which Reiki is part of that universal love, and it accelerates your energy. And I conducted a Reiki healing meditation for the listening audience about a month ago, and I'm going to conduct another one in another month. It was extremely powerful. Reiki, which is a powerful and wonderful healing energy, will permanently transform your life, without a doubt. So please contact me at 770-808-8051 if you would like an appointment or to attend a Reiki class. Again, my number is 770-808-8051 if you would like an appointment or to attend a Reiki class, or if you would like to see me for an energy or counseling appointment. Now, tonight's topic again is the celebration of Black History Month Part 2. Again, to call in, you would call in at 1-818-572-8023. And press 1. Again, that number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. For three shows for this month, the focus will be on the wonderful contributions and talents of African Americans since February is Black History Month. And Black History Month began as a week and later expanded into a month. And the late, great Dr. Carter G. Woodson, academic scholar and Harvard University graduate, was the founder of this historic event. In February, it was designated as the month for Black History Week by Dr. Woodson in 1826 because this was the month that both Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln were born. And in 1976, the week was expanded into 1 month. And on our next show, which is February the 18th, the show will be dedicated to this great African-American historian and scholar. So be sure to join us to learn more about Dr. Woodson's outstanding accomplishments and achievements. Okay, tonight's show will highlight the extraordinary accomplishments of two phenomenal African-American women. And we would discuss the history of Valentine's Day, which is on February the 14th. These two great women are the late, great Whitney Houston and our guest speaker, Ms. Fina Oriah. And due to this being the anniversary of Whitney's death, Ms. Oriah would join us at 8 o'clock instead of 7:30. So I can give the tribute to Whitney that she deserves. Okay, I just opened and read a powerful email sent by Tyler Perry regarding Whitney and the death of his own mother. So what I want to do is share that email with you now. And this is directly from Tyler Perry. Hey, guys. For many years, I couldn't turn my ringer off on my phones because my mother was very ill. My phone would be on all night. This is tough for me, because I'm the type of man who loves being pure quiet when I'm home. No TV, no radio, no nothing. Just quiet. Mainly because there's so much noise in my life. After my mother died in 2009, I started turning my ringer off without the fear of missing a very important call. After you lose someone you love, nothing seems very important. So I was at my house in L.A. last February, on February the 11th, dreading facing February 12th. That would have been my mother's 67th birthday. I'm always a little sad around that time, but that morning started out okay. I thought I wouldn't be able to get through the 12th. All I had to do was protect my spirit. Let me leave the TV off and turn the ringer off, so that I could not be reminded of the grief that I had been enduring regarding my mother. I decided to turn in early. I was getting in the bed, and my cell kept lighting up. So I finally looked at my phone, and I had a text about Whitney. The one that was most shocking was a friend who said, "Tell me it's not true." I immediately knew what that meant. I tried to call Pat, her sister-in-law, but couldn't reach her. Within a few minutes, Pat called me back and asked me to come down to the hotel. I went to the Beverly Hilton Hotel, got out of the car, and I thought it was some kind of sick joke. There were hundreds of people standing around, laughing, drinking, screaming for autographs from celebrities as they arrived for a Grammy party. People were screaming my name, Tyler Perry, and taking pictures as I pushed through the crowd. I went up to the floor and saw the police and coroners outside of the room. I went into the room, and Whitney's family was broken down, inconsolable. We must have been right over the party because there was a glass of water on the nightstand that was vibrating from the bass and the screams below. It was so surreal. Such a juxtaposed position to see this family breaking down and hear laughter and tears from below us. It really made me think about her life. While her voice brought so much joy, there was so much sadness inside of her. As I'm now seeing all these tributes today to her on this 1 year anniversary of her death, I want you to know something. Whitney was a fighter. She really tried to get herself together. She really tried to overcome. She really wanted to, and I also know that, like me, a lot of you were praying and rooting for her. So, for all of us that were praying for Whitney's full recovery, for all of us who cared that she was on this planet, for all of us who loved her, I just want you to know that even though she is gone, there are still things that we can do for her. We can keep her daughter and her family lifted up in prayer. We can also pray for other people in this business, especially these young people who come in so bright-eyed and eager only to have it tear at their very souls. I thank God I didn't become successful until I was older. The younger you are when you start in this business, the more at risk you are. Speaking of that, we can also pray for the children of these people. If you only knew what people in this business have to endure to sit in their seat. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for anyone. I'm simply asking you to pray for us all. God bless. Miss you, Whitney. Signed, Tyler Perry. Now, what I would like to do is give a brief history of Whitney. Born August 9, 1963, in Newark, New Jersey, Whitney Houston almost seemed destined from birth to become a singer. Her mother, Sissy Houston, cousin Dionne Warwick, and godmother Aretha Franklin were all legendary figures in American gospel and soul music. Sissy Houston was a choir minister at New Hope Baptist Church, and it was there that a young Whitney got her start. Even as a child, Whitney was able to wow audiences. She later told interviewer Diane Sawyer that a rapturous response from the congregation at New Hope had a powerful effect upon her. Quote, "I think I knew then that my singing ability was an infectious thing that God had given me," end quote. By the time she turned 15, Whitney was performing often with her mother and trying to get a record deal of her own. Around the same time, she was discovered by a photographer who was awed by her natural beauty. She soon became an extremely sought-after teenage model, one of the first African-American women to appear on the cover of 17 magazine. But music remained her true love. When she was 19, Whitney was discovered in a nightclub by the renowned Clive Davis of Arista Records, who signed her immediately and took the helm of her career as she navigated from gospel to pop stardom. In 1983, Whitney made her debut on national television appearing on the Merv Griffin Show to sing Home from the musical The Wiz. She and Davis spent the next 2 years working on her debut album, finding the best producers and songwriters available to showcase her amazing vocal talent. In 1985, Whitney released her debut album, Whitney Houston, and almost immediately became a smash pop sensation. Over the next year, her hit singles Saving All My Love for You and How Will I Know helped the album reach the top of the charts, where it stayed for 14, let me repeat that, it stayed for 14 non-consecutive weeks. Whitney won a Grammy in 1986 for Saving All My Love for You. The award was presented to the singer by her cousin, Dionne Warwick. Whitney followed the monumental success of her first album with a second release, Whitney, in 1987. That record, too, went platinum many times over and won more Grammy Awards, leading to a successful world tour. During this time, the singer also appeared at a concert for Nelson Mandela's birthday, and she founded the Whitney Houston Foundation for Children, a nonprofit organization that funds projects to help needy children over the world. In 1992, Whitney Houston was on top of the world, but her life was about to get very complicated very quickly. That year, she married the R&B singer Bobby Brown, formerly of New Edition, after a three-year engagement. And I just want to dispel with the rumors, too, because Whitney's brother was on Oprah. Bobby Brown did not introduce Whitney to drugs like a lot of people had assumed. It was her brother that introduced her to drugs. And he talked about it with such remorse because during the time, during the 80s, it was like drinking alcohol. And they went into it very innocently, very blindly, but it was her brother, who was closer to her in age, that introduced her to drugs. And in spite of these growing personal troubles, Whitney Houston continued to progress in her career, crossing over successfully into acting in 1992 by starring opposite Kevin Costner in the wildly popular The Bodyguard. And with this movie, she set a trend for her films to follow. In each film that she appeared in, she also released a hit single. And by doing so, this created sensational record sales for the soundtracks. Her smash single from The Bodyguard, a cover of Dolly Parton's 1974, I Will Always Love You, proved to be Houston's biggest hit ever, spending a record-breaking 14 weeks atop the U.S. charts. The soundtrack album went on to win Houston three Grammys, including Album of the Year and Record of the Year. Later in the 1990s, Houston also starred in The Preacher's Wife and Waiting to Exhale. Both of these movies were accompanied by hit soundtracks as well. In 1998, Whitney released My Love Is Your Love, her first non-soundtrack studio album in many years, and it earned her another Grammy, but could not top the chart performance of her previous albums. However, her collaboration with Mariah Carey in the animated film The Prince of Egypt produced a single, When You Believe, which won an Academy Award. This young woman was such a phenomenal, phenomenal person. And in the 1990s and early 2000s, Whitney's increasingly rocky marriage, struggles with drugs and health problems began to really affect her. And in 2002, with this famous interview with Diane Sawyer, it became apparent that there were some things going on with Whitney's life that she became aware of, and she did her best to overcome these things, unlike a lot of the rumors. Over the next few years, Whitney attempted to repair her marriage and to break her drug habit. But after several relapses, her mother, Sissy, had to step in. And as Whitney explained to Oprah in 2009, which was aired recently, my mother walks in with the sheriff, and she says, "I have a court injunction here. You do it my way, or we're not going to do this at all. You're going to go on TV, and you're going to retire. And say you're going to give this up because it's not worth it." End quote. This is what Sissy Houston has said to her daughter. So Whitney took a break from her career, divorced Bobby Brown in 2007, and won sole custody of their child, Bobby Christina Houston Brown. And after almost a decade of struggling with her personal life, Whitney seemed to be pulling herself together, and she released a new album, I Look to You, in 2009. And she's quoted saying, "These songs in themselves will speak to you, and you'll understand where I am and some of the changes I've gone through for the better," end quote. Houston told Entertainment Tonight. And in early 2012, Houston was supposedly having financial trouble, but this wasn't true. Her mother was on Oprah's Next Chapter recently, and she said that that was not true. Those were rumors. She, Whitney, in fact, seemed to be poised for a career upswing. She was working on a new musical film, Sparkle, with Jordan Sparks, which was a remake of the 1976 movie about an all-girl musical group similar to the Supremes. And Whitney had reportedly been approached to join the singing competition, The X Factor, as a judge. Unfortunately, she did not live long enough to see the latest comeback reach fruition. Whitney died on February the 11th, 2012, in Los Angeles, California. With her passing, the music world has lost one of its most legendary stars. Her longtime supporter and mentor, Clive Davis, once said that Houston, quote, is in the great tradition of great, great singers. Whether it's Lena Horne, or Ella Fitzgerald, or Sarah Vaughan, or Gladys Knight, end quote. And I am personally saying myself, from me, I'm saying to Whitney's spirit, beloved Whitney, you are now with the angels, singing eternally. No one can harm you now. No one can break your spirit. As you said in your movie and in the soundtrack, Whitney, we will always love you. And we're giving you a silent tribute in prayer. And we thank God for you, Whitney. And we know that you are now watching over us with a smile. And you're singing with the angels. After this commercial break, we will come back and I will give the history of Valentine's Day. And then we will bring on our guest speaker, Fina Araya.
This is Professor Jamila Franklin, CEO and President of Oyende Enterprises, a holistic wellness company. We provide dynamic certified Reiki and energy medicine classes and trainings, certified aromatherapy courses, metaphysics courses, life coaching sessions, and private holistic counseling sessions. For more information, call 770-808-8051 or go to our website at www.oyindeenterprises.com. That is spelled OYINDEENTERPRISES.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome to Higher Consciousness. This is Professor Jamila Franklin. And this evening is a very, very special show. I just gave a tribute to the late, great Whitney Houston. And for any of you who may just be joining the show, please visit the show and listen to the archived version so you can listen to the tribute made in honor of the wonderful, great Whitney Houston. Now, Valentine's Day is coming up on February the 14th, and I wanted to give the history of Valentine's Day, and then after that, I am bringing on our wonderful guest, Arthur, this evening, Fina Oraya. The history of Valentine's Day and the story of his patron saint is shrouded in mystery. We do know that February has long been celebrated as a month of romance, and that St. Valentine's Day, as we know it today, contains vestiges of both Christian and ancient Roman tradition. But who was St. Valentine, and how did he become associated with this ancient rite? Now, the Catholic Church recognizes at least three different saints named Valentine or Valentinus, all of whom were martyred. And one legend contends that Valentine was a priest who served during the 3rd century in Rome, when Emperor Claudius II decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families. He outlawed marriage for young men. And Valentine, realizing the injustice of the decree, defied Claudius and continued to perform marriages for young lovers in secret. When Valentine's actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death. Other stories suggest that Valentine may have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons, where they were often beaten and tortured. According to one legend, an imprisoned Valentine actually sent the first Valentine greeting himself after he fell in love with a young girl, possibly his jailer's daughter, who visited him during his confinement. Before his death, it is alleged that he wrote her a letter signed, "From Your Valentine," an expression that is still in use today. Although the truth behind the Valentine legends is murky, the stories all emphasize his appeal as a sympathetic, heroic, and most importantly, romantic figure. So by the Middle Ages, perhaps thanks to this reputation, Valentine would become one of the most popular saints in England and France. Now, the origins of Valentine's Day, a pagan festival in February. While some believe that Valentine's Day is celebrated in the middle of February to commemorate the anniversary of Valentine's death or burial, which probably occurred around A.D. 270. Others claim that the Christian Church may have decided to place St. Valentine's feast day in the middle of February in an effort to Christianize the pagan celebration of Lupercalia. So this holiday, Lupercalia, which was a pagan celebration, was celebrated at the Ides of February, or February the 15th. And Lupercalia was a fertility festival dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, as well as to the Roman founders, Romulus and Remus. To begin the festival, members of Luperci, an order of Roman priests, would gather at a sacred cave where the infants Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome, were believed to have been cared for by a she-wolf or lupa. The priest would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification. They would then strip the goat's hide into strips, dip them in the sacrificial blood, and take to the streets, gently slapping both women and crop fields with the goat hide. Far from being fearful, Roman women welcomed the touch of the hides because it was believed to make them more fertile in the coming year. Later in the day, according to the legend, all the young women in the city would place their names in a big urn, and the city's bachelors would each choose a name and become paired for the year with this chosen woman. These matches often ended in marriage. Now, for Valentine's Day, Lupercalia survived the initial rise of Christianity, because what I just described was the pagan tradition in terms of celebrating Romulus and Remus of the people in Rome. So, and it was called Lupercalia, and this survived the initial rise of Christianity, but was outlawed as it was deemed unchristian at the end of the 5th century, when Pope Gelasius declared February the 14th, St. Valentine's Day. Now, it was not until much later, however, that the day became definitively associated with love. And during the Middle Ages, it was commonly believed in France and England that February the 14th was the beginning of the birds' mating season, which added to the idea that the middle of Valentine's Day should be a day for romance. Valentine greetings were popular as far back as the Middle Ages, the official writing of a Valentine did not begin to appear until after the 1400s. So the oldest known Valentine still in existence today was a poem written in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London following his capture at the Battle of Agincourt. The greeting is now part of the manuscript collection of the British Library in London, England. And so several years later, it is believed that King Henry V hired a writer, John Lydgate, to compose a Valentine note to Catherine of Valois. So it happened beginning with Valentine when he was in prison. This tradition, years and centuries later, was picked up naturally by other by people in the aristocracy. Now, the typical Valentine's Day greeting, in addition to the United States, Valentine's Day is celebrated in Canada, Mexico, the United Kingdom, France, and Australia. In Great Britain, Valentine's Day began to be popularly celebrated around the 17th century. And by the middle of the 18th century, it was common for friends and lovers of all social classes to exchange small tokens of affection or handwritten notes. And then by 1900, printed cards began to replace written letters due to improvements in printing technology. And it became more commercial during that time, too. So ready-made cards were an easy way for people to express their emotions in a time when direct expression of one's feelings was discouraged. So, like now, similar to today, people feel so comfortable in expressing their affections using text messages or the email as opposed to face-to-face. During these times, the same thing happened in terms of people feeling more comfortable expressing their affections using written communication versus face-to-face. Cheaper postage rates also contributed to an increase in the popularity of sending Valentine's Day greetings. So by the early 1900s, the cards became very, very popular. Americans probably began exchanging handmade Valentines in the early 1700s. And in the 1840s, Esther A. Howland began selling the first mass-produced Valentines in America. Howland, known as the mother of the Valentine, made elaborate creations with real lace, ribbons, and colorful pictures known as scrap. Today, according to the Greeting Card Association, an estimated 1 billion, you heard me correctly, 1 billion, not million, 1 billion Valentine's Day cards are sent each year, making Valentine's Day the second largest card-sending holiday of the year. An estimated 2.6 billion cards are sent for Christmas. Women purchase approximately 85% of all Valentines. What I want to say about that, too, is that I encourage everyone to get him or herself your own Valentine's Day card. There are people who sometimes bemoan and they're sad if they don't get a Valentine's Day card from someone. And I tell them, you need to send yourself a Valentine's Day card. I do that every year. And then you know you will get the card that you want. Because you know the card that you want and you become angry when you don't see it, even though you've given hints to your loved one or your children and they don't give you what you want. Do it for yourself. We're now talking about, we had the show of the year, Universal Love. Love you enough to do for you. Don't wait for someone else to honor you or to love you. You should do that for yourself. As I said in my earlier shows, you can't divorce you if you tried. You can get away from your children, they will leave you. Your mate, he will leave you or she will leave you, or you will leave your mate, but you will be with you until you decide to leave this planet. So if you're going to be with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, honor yourself every opportunity that you get. Honor yourself with each holiday. Honor yourself with any gift that you want someone to give you. Give it to yourself. Any card that you want someone to give to you, give it to yourself. Any restaurant that you want someone to take you to, take yourself to the restaurant. Any movie that you desire to see, do it for you. Do not put your life up on a shelf waiting for someone to honor you, because as we said before with the law of attraction, you will attract someone who will treat you the way that you treat yourself. So if you don't take the time to honor you, to love you, to tell you how much you love you and how wonderful you are and how talented you are and how beautiful you are or how handsome you are, the world is not going to give that to you. Or if the world does give it to you, it's going to be conditional. So if the world, if you want someone to tell you how beautiful you are and you're not feeling it from within, that person will tell you that for a while, but when you start aging or gaining weight or no longer look the way you did when the person first met you, the person is going to become critical. Why? Because you're critical of you. So Valentine's Day is not just one day out of the year. Valentine's Day should be every day. You should honor you every day. You should love you every day. You should pamper yourself every day. You should glow in the awesomeness of who you are. Because I saw something on Facebook, and I think I read it a couple of shows ago. If the Most High, Jehovah, Allah, God, Universal Presence, had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If the Most High had a wallet, your picture would be in it. That's how wonderful you are. So don't just wait until holidays to honor you. Don't give up your power to the holidays and become depressed, because there are people that become depressed around holidays, which is really unfortunate, because they think if they're not in a relationship, then they're not worthy. And nothing could be further from the truth. Honor you. Adore you. Pamper you, worship you, love you, kiss you, hug you. Do all of that for you and truly feel good about you. Know that you're a work in progress and that you're working in process. You're still evolving. but you're loved by the Most High, by Jehovah, by God, by the Universal One, by Allah. You're loved no matter what you did today or yesterday. You will always be loved. And so it doesn't get any more powerful than that. It's not conditional like your mates will put on you. If you don't do this for them, then they stop loving you. Or your children, or your friends, or your relatives. In some cases, as long as you're doing things for them, they love you. Very few people love unconditionally. But God does. The Most High, the spiritual being, the essence within you, God is within you as well as outside of you, loves you unconditionally. So if that being loves you unconditionally, if that being gave you life via your mother's womb, if that being embraces you and thinks the world of you, I now am asking that you turn that love within and see how wonderful you are, and that you do the same for yourself. That, and most of you probably have done this, but if you have not, that from this moment on, that you no longer call yourself names that are not flattering, that you no longer refer to yourself as being stupid or dumb or any of those other adjectives. Your actions may be flawed, but you are not flawed. Do we make mistakes? Yes. Do these mistakes define who we are? No. They just define the mistakes. You are not stupid. You are not dumb. We may make choices that are not the highest, but we're not stupid and we're not dumb. So we have to start seeing ourselves as the Most High God, the Universal One, Allah, Jehovah sees us. When we start really seeing that, understanding that, and feeling that and breathing that, everything will flow to you. I heard Joel Osteen yesterday talk about something that was really powerful. He said that this woman was in a marriage that disintegrated, and the woman felt very, very depressed and sad. She felt that her life was over and that no one would love her again and she would never be in another relationship. And what Joel Osteen told her, he said, no, that's not true. He said, put a picture frame by your bed. No picture in it. And just keep holding the vision of the highest part of you, that you are lovable, that God loves you, that you are deserving of a healthy relationship. You're deserving of someone who can honor you and adore you and see you the way that God sees you. She didn't believe him, but she did put that picture frame, the empty picture frame, by her bed. And 3 years later, she came to the altar and she was crying like she was 3 years prior. But he said this time she was crying tears of joy. She brought him her fiancé because she decided to change her thinking about herself. She decided to love herself, honor herself, no matter what her thoughts had originally said, no matter what the world has said, being a woman who was divorced, whose husband had left her. She decided to give herself a new script. And you know what? The actions had to follow. So when you love yourself so much and you're so in love with you, and you're so in love with the God within you, because God is inside of you. God is at the core of who you are, not only outside. People keep praying to a God outside. God is in you too. That's how all the mystics and the avatars are able to perform miracles, because you are an extension of God. So, and as the Christ said, all these things I do, you can do these things and more. And he wasn't giving you a religious message. It was a spiritual message. So whatever your belief is, be it Yoruba, be it Christianity, be it Judaism, be it Confucianism, be it the Tao, whatever your, be it Islam, whatever your belief system is, the Most High is saying, you have me in you. Love you. I love you so much. You are a reflection of me. So if God is telling us we're a reflection of that energy, that awesome, supreme energy, how can we deny who we are? How can we turn our backs on that? How can we sit there and be sad because we don't have a physical person next to us, because we feel unlovable or unloving? We're then going against the universal law, because you were created from love. And all you have to do is just worship and honor the God within you and yourself. And everyone else then will show up and respond to that. And if the person does not respond to the love within you, another bus will come to bring the right person. Don't compromise who you are for Valentine's Day, for any holiday, just to have a warm body next to you. You're greater than that. You're better than that. You're bigger than that. You deserve more. You deserve happiness. You deserve peace. You deserve divine love. And if you continue to believe and know that you know, and it's not positive thinking. A very good friend of mine talks about this, Dr. Shane Wells, who's a very good friend. She gave me some nuggets to chew on. She said, positive thinking is just negative thinking with ice cream on top, or like an icing on top. It's still negative thinking. You know, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to be positive about it. No. When you really know, you don't have to think positive. You just know it. You don't have to think the best of it. No, it's just a knowing it. It's a knowingness. So positive thinking is not something that you should want to achieve. You should really deep down achieve and dig for the knowingness. It's very different. When you know that you're loved, when you know that you're lovable, when you know that all you need is yourself, and that others will come based on that, and you can choose whom you want in your life. And when you choose from that space of knowing who you are from all love, she has to be the one. He has to be the one. And when you know that you don't define your life based on any holidays, when you know that you give yourself permission to take yourself out on a date for Valentine's Day or any day of the week, when you give yourself permission to buy yourself a Valentine's card, when you give yourself permission to take yourself to the movies, or when you give yourself permission to give yourself a spa vacation, when you decide to give yourself permission to do any of those things and feel good about it, and when you are in love with you, so in love with you, that no one can mistreat you because you won't allow it, then you have arrived. And then you know what will happen? That person of your dreams will gently tap you on the shoulder, because that person has been waiting for you to know who you were. And the universe then will release him or her to you. So for this Valentine's Day, for any of you who are listening, who think you have to be with someone even though you're in pain, you deserve better. You deserve more. You deserve true love. you deserve the unconditional love that you came into this planet with. And that's the love of the Most High, of the Creator, of Jehovah. Accept nothing less. And if you're in a relationship that's giving you less for 2013, you may want to reevaluate that. You may want to take your power back in 2013 because, as I said, everything that happened before 2013 is no longer relevant. You may want to sit back and say, from this point on, 2013 on, I'm redefining who I am. I'm redefining who I am. I'm rediscovering who I am. I choose me. I choose peace. I choose unconditional love. I choose joy. I choose happiness. And if the person who shows up reflects that back to me, then I choose him or I choose her. But if anything less than that shows up, I release it. Even if I'm in it now, I'm choosing me over the situation. And I choose to live in joy, peace, happiness, and unconditional love. Why? Because it is my divine birthright to have those things. So let's reframe and redefine Valentine's Day. And for me, what I'm going to do and what I always do is I honor myself with my blend, Peace Be Still, and most of you have experienced that, and you can go to my website. It's a wonderful blend that gets rid of stress and anxiety and depression. It's phenomenal. And just put a couple of drops in your bath water, and you have a spa treatment. And you can go to my website, and I will have a commercial break with more information. But treat yourself to a Peace Be Still bath that you can have throughout the year. It takes away all of the stress, all the anxiety, and it's all holistic and it's all natural, only with lavender, lemongrass, and geranium. Be good to yourself. You can give yourself a spa treatment with Peace Be Still in your home. And my website is www.oyendeenterprises.com. And as I said, I will have more information about that during the break. And the telephone number is 770-808-8051 to order some. But just treat yourself to Peace Be Still or to any other fragrance that's healing and soothing for you. Put candles around your tub, soft music, and just be good to yourself. Just be good to yourself, not only on the 14th, but throughout the year. Just learn how to take your life back. Learn how to reaffirm yourself. Learn how to love yourself again because you're worth it. And I'm rooting for you. I am so cheering you on because I know that this is your time. This is your year. All the things that did not happen for you in terms of your relationships in the past, those things are over. Release that and let it go. If you keep replaying the same tapes over and over and over again, how this person, how Mary mistreated you, or how Jim Boy mistreated you, Jim Boy has to keep coming into your life, and Mary has to keep coming into your life. Those kinds of people who represent them. Why? Because you keep recreating those same patterns. Let them go. If you have old pictures of people that hurt you, get rid of the pictures. Why are you holding on to things that are painful? If you have anything that reminds you of the pain, let it go. There are people who still are holding on to things from painful relationships. I know someone who was married for 6 months and talked about her ex-husband for 10 years after. I said, this is really, really interesting. She was only in the relationship for 6 months, and she kept that pain alive within her energy field. So she couldn't heal because she kept talking about it, so she kept revisiting it. choose to let the pain go. Choose to move forward. Choose to heal your life. Only you can do this. Praying to God, God is saying to you, Allah is saying to you, Jehovah is saying to you, let it go. That's why you tune into this show, to make a choice, to make a different choice. And we keep praying and doing the same thing. And that's what my late husband used to say, that's insanity. You're doing the same thing and expecting different results. That's insane. So let's make a different choice, which is to love you, honor you, and support everything that is positive, that is uplifting. And after this commercial break, we'll bring on our very, very special guest, Fina Oriah, who will talk about her wonderful novel, Before 7:30.
Are you stressed, tired, need to relax? Peace Be Still, a natural, holistic aromatherapy blend, is your answer. My name is Jacqueline Scott, and I have been a faithful user for years. For more information and to purchase Peace Be Still, a wonderful blend for the entire family, go to Amazon.com or call 770-808-8051 today.
Welcome back. This is Higher Consciousness, and this is Professor Jamila Franklin. And this evening, we have three topics, two of which I've discussed. The first part of the show, I gave a tribute to the late, great Miss Whitney Houston. And the second part, I gave the history of Valentine's Day. And now, I'm bringing on our guest for this evening, Miss Fina Oriah. And if you have any questions, please call us at 1-818-572-8023. Press 1. Again, the telephone number is 1-818-572-8023 and press 1. Greetings, Fina. I am so honored to have you on the show this evening. How are you?
Hi, Jamila. I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I am doing extremely well. And I want to give people some information about you before we have you present your wonderful book. Born in Haiti but grew up in New Jersey, Fina, who has a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and minor in Business Law and Public Policies from UMUC, is the second of five children. She is a proud single mother of an energetic yet wonderful son who is only 8 but has an old soul. Fina has always viewed life through spiritual lenses, learning every day that life's journey seems endless yet enjoyable. In her spiritual quest, she always remains open and flexible to the universe's plans. Her passion is to help others reach higher and to share that there is much to life, much more to life than just being angry, unhappy, unfulfilled, bitter, and unmotivated. Her book's purpose is to help others to let go of those negativities and to take ownership of their lives, especially within their relationships. Welcome. As you can see, I agree 100% with you. I think self-empowerment is extremely important. So I was so very pleased to have had the opportunity to meet you about a month ago, and I was impressed with you and wanted to bring you on the show to talk to people about your journey. So I gave a little bit of your journey, so feel free to take us on a wonderful ride called Fina.
Thank you, Jamila. It is a great honor to talk to your listeners and to have this opportunity to be on your show to share my insights with everyone, especially on the day that you paid tribute to Whitney Houston. I love Whitney, and I always blast for her songs in my car, pretending that I can sing like her, but you know, I'm nowhere close to having such a great voice. And I've been listening from the beginning, and everything that you said is so true, and things that I have shared with my friends for so many years. And I know that some of the ones who are listening now or who will listen later on will say, oh, my goodness, that's just like what you've been saying all these years. Mm-hmm. And for those people who are hearing my voice, they know the voice, but they don't know the name. Fina Oriah is my pen name, but my birth name is Finerve, and I have a lot of people who know me as Fern, or some give me aliases such as Nervy. So it's the same person. And like Jamila said, I am the second of five very different children. My youngest brother, Nathaniel, he's actually a senior at West Orange High School in New Jersey. I have two sisters who are highly religious into their witnessing studies. My other brother is just doing his thing, trying to keep up and raise his young family. My parents are very hardworking and always believed in giving their children better opportunities than what they had while growing up. And as Jamila mentioned, I do have an 8-year-old, and he keeps me very busy. He is my visible guide in the literal sense. He's my little helper and my shining star, because he is brilliant and truly a star in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So I am a single parent. I got married 4 days after my 21st birthday while I was still in college. Shortly thereafter, I lived in England for 3 years with my ex-husband, who was stationed there, and that was quite an experience. Then we came back to the States and was stationed in Maryland, but we got divorced a couple years later. So my son was almost two when we got a divorce. I lived in Maryland for another 2 years, and then moved to Atlanta so that my son could be closer to his dad, who was then stationed at Pensacola. So I went through a dark period after my divorce. Here I was, 26 years old, in a state where far away from my family with a toddler, and now divorced without any friends. So that was really hard for me, but God, my angels, and my ancestors helped me pull through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So my journey hasn't been that unique in the sense that I've gone through some of the same things that other women experience. And I'm saying women, but I mean, I'm a woman. I know men experience similar things as well. Things such as or experiences from love to heartaches, to disappointments, to confusion, then back to love. However, the difference between me and the next woman is probably how I handle the issues. I don't like to be left in confusion and chaos. I'm a big lover of peace. I must have my peace, especially since I have transformed into someone completely different from the person that many of my friends and family knew many years ago. You know, Jamila, I'll think back on that 18 to 21-year-old me, and I have no idea who that was.
Mm-hmm.
I went through so much pain and so much confusion, I didn't have anyone to help me. I didn't have the support that I needed. Yet, those moments have helped me to be a stronger woman and to be the woman who I am today.
Mm-hmm.
I chose a quote from my senior high school, which is buried somewhere in a box of all my other books, and it goes a little something like this. Some trees need to be close to the mother tree to grow, but some trees need to be far away to grow and blossom, and that's me. I love my family, but I do a lot better when I'm not too close by.
Mm-hmm.
I always describe the environment that I grew up in as kind of gray. There was a lot that went on while I was growing up, but now my life has a lot more color. So tonight I wanted to talk to my brothers and my sisters out there who are still feeling a bit lost. And when I say brothers and sisters, I'm referring to everyone regardless of color, you know, which is a deterrent to unity.
Mm-hmm.
When I was listening to your show, I was like, oh, my goodness, Jamila stole my thunder. Before I came on, I said, you know what, someone's life is going to change come tomorrow. And now I'm not talking about winning the lottery, because we always associate with, you know, someone's life changing as winning the lottery and winning millions. No, that's not quite what I'm talking about. But someone's life will definitely change come tomorrow morning, if not tonight. But I'm giving you
right.
a little bit, I'm giving you a little bit of time to digest everything that you're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Starting tomorrow morning, someone's life will change in the sense that your life will have more peace.
Mm-hmm.
The information that we're sharing with you will definitely hit somebody. It will hit home. I've always been a catalyst and a transformer, meaning that I don't ever meet people or talk to people without affecting somebody in some way. And if that's you, then please contact me after the show and let me know in what way, you know, you were affected. Now, I want you to be honest with yourself starting today. I want you to listen to what you're telling yourself about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big questions, because, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, one of the questions that I really want people to think about is, are you happy? If you're not happy, then why not?
Mm-hmm.
Just as you had touched upon earlier, Jamila, is it because of the people in your life? Did
mm-hmm.
you allow these toxic people to follow you into 2013? If you did, then that's a big mistake. You need to try to consider doing a self-examination of your surroundings starting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this is huge. And,
it
like,
is.
For me, that's I mean, that's something that I do every single year. I always reexamine my surroundings because we all know we have a lot of people who are draining us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who do nothing but criticize, judge, mock your good deeds and hard work. Many people are captious individuals eager to tell you what you should do with your life, often by making themselves appear better than you.
Very true.
You know, we are still living in a benign period because we don't know who we are. So it's easy for other people to affect us, and often it's in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
Jamila, Dr. Shea said something a couple of days ago that stayed with me, and that is that we usually attach happiness to goals.
I like that when she said that too. Yes, true. Yeah.
When she said that, I was like, oh my goodness, that is so true. Because if you ask anyone, you know, what, you know, tell me one thing that would make you happy, we always, the answer is usually a goal or
mm-hmm.
some kind of a material thing. But that type of happiness doesn't last.
Very true.
You know, we need
to start. Once things are over or you've achieved the goal, then the ego says, okay, what's next?
Exactly. Exactly.
To feed it, you know, that's so true.
Right. So we need to start associating happiness with what touches the heart in a deeper way.
Right.
Now, for those of you who are like, how would I describe it? Like an engine pluming black smoke because your life is so dark and so lacking in everything that has to do with light, love, happiness, and laughter. Think about your life for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Think about where all of that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of the negativity came from your upbringing. I mean, we know that. Some of those are lingering residues from your childhood experiences, whether it was physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, or emotional abuse. But I'm here today to tell you, or to say to you, that you don't have to be that little boy or that little girl anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be, right. You don't have to be that helpless child who felt unloved. You know, you don't have to continue that damaging cycle. Instead, think of yourself as the strong woman or the strong man who can grab that baton and make your life how you want to make it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really powerful because people are always think if he would only do this, I would then be happy. If she would only do this, then I would be happy. He made me mad. No, it's a choice that you're making. You're choosing. No one can bring you happiness but you. It's a choice. And like you said, you know, when Shay had made the comment, we always attach things. If I got the better house, if I got the job promotion, if I get the car, then I would be happy. You get those things, and then you're still not happy because it's not an outside job. It's an inside job. And then you up the ante. I want more. I want more. Then you have people with 15 cars who have money, houses around the country, around the world, as you see with the famous people, and they're still not happy because it's never an outside job.
Exactly, exactly. People really need to stop and check themselves and also check the people around them as well.
Definitely check the people around them.
You need to check the people around you. If you have people who are doing nothing but bringing negativity to you, then you, I'm not telling you to ditch your friend tomorrow, but you got some thinking to do. I read this comment a few days ago where this person said that 75% of our miseries are brought in by us, and it's true. And I would actually say more than 75%. I would say maybe around 85% of our miseries are brought in by us, if not more.
Very
but, you
true.
Know, as an adult, you are creating your own misery. Think about those things that make your life so lacking in self-love and self-confidence and self-esteem. Think about that friend who is like a leech. Think about that boyfriend or girlfriend who does nothing but hurt you at every turn. You know, think about that job that stifles your creativity. Think about that new car or house that you purchased that you could hardly afford. I mean, that's all you. You did all that. So let's stop. You know, let's stop with the blame game and take, you know, take a take a hold of a better life. Take ownership of your life starting tomorrow. Like I said, I'm giving you a little bit of time tonight to digest and listen to the show and put all those negativities on blast and then come up with a plan of attack. Before you can compartmentalize these negativities, you must work on the ones that are crippling your growth, killing your joy, killing your smile, and slowly killing you on the inside.
That's very true. And then being able to take personal responsibility, because what happens, you know, people, it feels good to say, well, even with people who are so-called Christians, the devil made me do this. I said, no, if you heard the devil tell you something, you have a choice if you believe in that. You have a choice not to have done it. You chose to do it. So
everything you do is a choice.
You choose to listen to the high vibrational voice of the Most High God or to lower vibrational voice. No one makes you do anything. You know, even if someone has a gun pointed to your head, you're still choosing to, you might be doing it out of fear, but you're still making a choice.
Exactly.
So we have to assume and accept full responsibility and not beat up on ourselves. It's just like, you made that choice, you can make another choice.
Exactly.
You know, you can make another choice to empower yourself. You, just because you made the choice doesn't mean that you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
I had a conversation with a friend a couple of days ago, and where she expressed that love has to hurt sometimes, and I quickly said, "Well, no, love shouldn't hurt." I mean, I want everyone to repeat this with their eyes closed and heart wide open. Love doesn't have to hurt. That's where we go wrong. We've been brainwashed to think that we're supposed to suffer.
Exactly.
How,
I think
how
that's
is
a powerful point. Yeah.
How do you put love and suffering in the same sentence? I mean, hello, we're not Jesus. So let's stop. I'm so serious, Jamila. I mean, love does not have to hurt. So let's stop with that damaging thought process right now. So when do you when do you get to be really happy? And we're talking about this now because we know Valentine's Day is coming and everyone's feeling so in that loving mood and all of that. Even the ones who aren't truly happy, they're still feeling like, okay, they got to go along.
Exactly.
But we all know we have a lot of work to do. Let's be real for a second. So again, so when do you get to be really happy? It's like to say that love should hurt is like saying to others that you should be okay with a partner who abuses you, who torments you, who belittles you, and who constantly looks for the next thorn to hurt you. I mean, how is that love? every reaction is a reaction of a thought. So your thoughts are very powerful. There is not one thing that happens that's not attributed to thoughts. So it's important that you relearn about love and what it truly means.
I think this is really powerful, yeah.
You know, anything that's negative has nothing to do with love.
Mm-hmm. That is so true.
Love, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but love, to me, this is my definition of love. Love is beautiful.
It is.
Love is sensual.
Mm-hmm.
Love
is
courageous.
Mm-hmm.
Love is powerful. Love is heavenly and free.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a relationship and you're not experiencing love in those ways, then please do a self-examination.
And I think that's really, really important, Fina, that you're saying these things because you're younger than I am. You're a lot younger than I am. And what I see on television, which is really disheartening, is first, I don't watch a lot of television, but with all the shows with women, they show women in such debased ways. They are fighting each other, spitting on each other, even with the women. The Housewives of Beverly Hills. They have money, but they're just as crazy. So I said, this is just really, really low vibrational stuff. It's teaching women that men are the objects of your affection. It's teaching young girls that you should tolerate abuse. It's teaching young girls that you don't have any power, that the man has the power, and you have to suffer in silence in these relationships because he has the power, and it's teaching women not to trust each other. Because I said, now, if all women got together, there would be no unfaithful men because they couldn't run from woman to woman. The same thing for men. If all men got together, there would be no unfaithful women because we have an allegiance and a respect for the institution of relationships and marriages. But because we've been programmed, and these shows now are programming young girls and young men too, this is the code of behavior. You can have a college degree, but your object of affection or your goal to be happy is to be in a relationship. And to be in a relationship with a man who is not going to be faithful, because all these men have these outside relationships, but to tolerate it because, you know, he has the power. So even though we have a first lady who's awesome and brilliant, they're now redefining the powers to be, how women should be in relationships. And they're having women not see their power. And this isn't all men, but the people who control the executives at these major TV networks are programming women and young girls how to suffer in silence. I said, wow, it's taking women back 100 years. You know, I said, wow, my God. We're more powerful in terms of jobs, but in terms of relationships, we've lost a lot of ground. So I'm so really impressed with you coming up with your book and talking about this because, like I said, a lot of young women, they get their role modeling from BET, from MTV, from those housewives shows.
Right.
You know, they model that behavior. Like when I was teaching a couple of years ago at a college, my students were saying that the young girls were looking at the Bad Girls Club, modeling that crazy mm-hmm. behavior. So, you know, thinking that you don't trust women, you spit on them, you kick them, you fight them over a man, and that's what you do. And I said, that is not what you do. It's not about self-love at all, and it's teaching you that men are the prize. And men should not think that women are the prize. Men should think that each person should think he or she is the prize, not someone outside of you.
Right.
So a male should think he is the prize, a female should think she is the prize. And then when you feel good about yourself, as you're talking about within your book, then people can say, I don't have to settle for this. I may have to wait a little bit longer because I'm not settling. And when he shows up or when she shows up, I know this is going to be the person of my dreams. Why? Because I love me enough to wait for that. I'm not going to settle for an abusive relationship with a man because I'm married to him, or with a woman because I'm married to her. I can choose a different kind of reality. I can choose health, love, the highest vibration, and I can choose to let this go so that what God truly has in store for me can come. It cannot come if you're holding on to someone for Valentine's Day to get those roses while he or she goes and does the same thing that they've given you. He's gone to about 3 or 4 other people. And you know that. You know
right.
that you're not the only one. But you're settling. So for what? Just to say you have a card on Valentine's Day? That's not showing ourselves how much we love ourselves, and that's not respecting what God has said to us, that you deserve better. So I would like for us to get into talking about your book and what inspired you to write your book and all that, because I was just really impressed with the fact that, you know, that you're a young artist and you want to share these nuggets with people.
Well, you know, like I said before, I am divorced, so I've been through, I've experienced some things that were not very pleasant. I've always helped my friends or some who were younger, some who could be my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a magnet. So this book was only supposed to take 6 months max, but it turned into a 1 year plus project. I just had an epiphany one day after having gotten into an argument with my boyfriend, and my pen just took over for about an hour, and the thought for 7:30 was born. And I wanted to share some of my experiences with not just my friends or my coworkers, but I also wanted my son to have something if for some reason I'm not around when he gets older. Because we, you know, he's only 8, but then we're always talking about things, and he has a lot of questions. And he's always talking about the fact that since I'm a single parent, he has a lot of questions about why isn't Daddy around or why hasn't he seen Daddy and all that type of stuff. Not to say that his dad is not taking care of him because his dad is in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to reach out to people and help, like I said, not just my friends, but other people who are suffering in their relationships. All those couples who are so unhappy and yet continue to be in these relationships. And then a year or two after matrimony, and they find themselves in the courthouse totally confused as to how in the world they got there. You know, what happened to the love? Where did it go? So while writing this book, I interviewed married couples of at least 10 years as well as divorcees to see if they saw the signs that they had something worthwhile or signs that the marriage was doomed from the beginning. We all know before we walk down that aisle whether their marriage will last. Everything happening now betokens a disastrous relationship. The addiction, the abuse, the anger, the lack of trust, the lack of communication, the lack of true emotion or love. If you're divorced, think about that day you walked down that aisle. Some of you won't even have to think that hard. That's how much you already knew that you were making a mistake, yet we usually just go along with it.
So yeah, I know someone that happened to. She said, before she said I do, she knew. She knew.
Right.
And she said her mom has said, you know, if you want to back out, you can back out.
Know.
And, you know, because she knew in her gut that this was not. That he was not the one. But, you know, sometimes you feel like you've paid the money and you've gone this far in embarrassment. Some people go through with it, but quite a few people in the listening audience, I know you knew before because your parents even, some of the parents have even said as they're walking you down the aisle, you can vote if you want, but we go through it anyway.
Exactly. I mean, some people, so basically what I cover mostly in my book is what people or couples should acknowledge while they're dating, because I want them to acknowledge the issues way before matrimony.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to be a part of that statistic that we keep hearing about where 45% to 50% of first marriages fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because it fails because a lot of times we don't do our homework before marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And all everything, the happiness and the way the relationship turns out, it starts way before you get married, way before you walk down that aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are just not ready for marriage. They think that just
very
because
true.
Their neighbor or friends have a great marriage, then they will have the same. But what they don't realize is that you have to work for your marriage to be great.
Very true.
you have to be open to compromise, to listen to your partner, to support, I can't emphasize that enough, to support one another, to learn to ameliorate your relationship with your spouse when you mess up. You know, like
very
I said before, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Yes, it's so true, very true.
Like I said before, we live in a time when many of us don't know who we are. We have forgotten to look within. It's almost like we are gallivanting without a plan, and that's a major problem. We have allowed commercial success to blind us from what's really important in life. We need to start taking personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We really need to start doing that. We need to just stop repeating the cycle. Go ahead.
I think people, especially after listening to someone like yourself who is so very wise, and listening to a show like this, people know that something is off within their spirit, but they're afraid because they've made this investment in terms of spending a lot of money on these weddings or telling people, especially for women, not as much for men. If you're not married by a certain age, then you are going to be viewed as being an old maid or whatever. Some of these young women, though, now have a really interesting perspective. They don't want to get married, but they want to have children. And I tell them that's completely backwards. You should not, if you don't love him enough to marry him, you shouldn't love him enough to have his baby. To me, that's crazy.
You're just bringing
drama and headaches. If you know he's on marriage material, you don't need to lay down with him and have his children because you need to have support, financial support with those babies. And they would tell you, well, my mom didn't have it. And I've told them, ask your mother if she had it any other way, would she have wanted to have had a man in her life who would have supported her? Nine times out of ten, she would say yes. So mothers are single mothers, not a lot of times because they want it to happen. It happened due to circumstances. So with young women, I tell them, if he's not good enough for you to marry him, he's not good enough for you to have a baby by him. So just think about that. And same thing with the men. If she's crazy, then leave her alone. Don't start talking about you can't be with her because she's crazy. You knew she was crazy before. So leave her alone. So then everybody would be happy. But people allow their emotions to run them. So when you know you're planning that wedding and that sick feeling, if you're a man, if you got a sick feeling in your stomach, if you're a woman, you got a sick feeling in your stomach, don't do it. Be courageous. I don't care how far along it is. If you send out the invitations and the wedding, the guests are lined up to come because you know in your spirit that this is not the one. And you can always stop it in its tracks because to go through with it means that then you have years of heartache and you're not happy. So, and believe the Most High God. Believe that your true mate is there. We get in the way and we try to figure it out. Whereas Fina is saying now, she's going to give you some tips as to how to select better. Stop selecting with your hormones. Like these shows are selecting men with six-packs. You know, I know friends who are into guys with six-packs. That's fine and good. To me, that's cute. But as I get older, I want someone who's going to be, I mean, it's cute. But I want someone who's going to be supportive, who's going to have a six-pack in his brain and in his spirit. Because, see, to me, that's more important. Because as we age, that six-pack is going to leave.
You
on the men
right.
and the women, you know, no matter how you work out and whatever, it's going to take you longer to keep it. And I'm not attracted to that. I want someone who is there for me no matter what, because you may lose your six pack, and then if he's only attracted to you because of that, he will leave you. Or if he loses his six pack, if you're only attracted to that, which is superficial, you will leave him. So we get caught up with superficial things. Things that don't matter. At the end of the day, you want to have somebody who's going to be with you through thick and thin. If you have a car accident and you become disfigured, you want him to be there for you or her to be there for you. So if that person is only attracted to that six-pack, there's a problem. You know, there's a problem. So we need to go deeper. What is that soul connection? What is that spiritual connection? And as you're moving into this day called Valentine's Day, you know if you have it, and you know if you do not have it. and it's not beating up on him or her or beating up on yourself, make 2013 a different year. Make different choices so you can get the love that you deserve. First, give yourself the love. Then you can get it from someone else. But if you keep looking on the outside for superficial things, you're going to keep getting superficial people who are going to be superficial with you too. When you gain weight, women, all the men who are talking about, well, she gained weight, it was superficial. Because
right.
he's gained weight too, or he's gotten bald.
Right.
So as we age, we change. And if
right.
he can't be with you, or if she can't be with you, then that lets you know that the love didn't have the roots. And it's like a tree trunk. A tree in the beginning when it's young, you know, the roots are not firm and stable. But as you water it with love and support and whatever, it gets like a relationship. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Faith, fidelity, hope, trust, compassion, that makes your relationship stronger. And if you're doing all the giving, men, and she's not giving, or women, if you're doing all of the giving and he's not giving, you're in a one-sided relationship. Valentine's Day is you have a box of chocolates and nothing else. And she would give you a box of chocolates, men, or he would give you a box of chocolates, women, because they know that's all you would settle for. You would settle for that. You won't settle for anything of substance. People would give us what we expect.
Exactly. So to all the unmarried, and even the married listeners out there, because some of you know that you have some of these issues as well. You know, it's not too late to work on those issues, but especially those listeners who are unmarried, you definitely want to work on those issues before you commit to a partner. It is paramount that you do not suppress those issues and pretend that they will just go away, because they won't.
It's very powerful.
And I really need people to wake up and learn to get help before marriage. Don't wait for that breaking point in your marriage to get that help. You know, it is you helping yourself be a better person, and you being a better person, then you learn to treat others better, then you learn to appreciate your spouse, you learn to not get angry just because your spouse disagrees with you, you learn to love yourself and how to share love with your spouse, and how not to take your spouse for granted. Now, another thing that I also cover in my book, Jamila, that I think a lot of people, they're just missing that, is spirituality.
Oh, definitely.
It's almost bigger than everything else. Well, why? Number one is because it's missing in most households. Since this is not knocking religion or any organization whatsoever, but since religion took over, especially after Christianity was formed, we have forgotten that we are first and foremost spiritual beings.
Very true.
We're walking around like bats. So I'm challenging all couples to go through a spiritual journey before marriage and try to be less of an ideologue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this journey will reconnect them, not just, you know, to earth, to the universe, reconnect them back to self, and then interconnect them to their partner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so important.
It is. It really, really is. And so when they get your book, you have these guidelines and these tips inside your book as well.
Exactly. So the way that I break down the book is that, you know, I talk about the trend, that I talk about where we are today as a society. Some of the things or some of the factors that are keeping this trend alive, the divorce rate that we keep hearing about. So then I go through some of the signs that couples need to acknowledge and the problems that they should resolve while they're dating way before matrimony. So I go through all the signs, and then, I mean, I have a section dedicated especially to the ladies, because I had to talk to y'all one-on-one. And I also have a section that's also dedicated to the guys. And then I incorporate some of the tips that I have from all these couples who have lasted 10, 20, 30 years. Then I talk about some of the things that couples should try to incorporate in their relationship to keep the marriage intact. And and then I'm going to connect the book to my website because I want the communication to keep going. I don't want it to stop with just this book. I want some people to start that dialogue again. We need to start talking again. We're not doing that.
That is so true.
We're so stuck on just getting home, watching TV, you know, and plus we don't have time. The work and life balance is so off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we have to go back to creating time to have that little one-on-one with one another.
Mm-hmm.
To know what's going on in each other's lives. Because if we don't have that communication, and there's no way we're going to know what's happening. We'll be in the house, and then it's almost like two total strangers in the house.
I love that. That is so true. And technology is making that even, is widening the gap in terms of communication within couples, relationships. Because people are so busy texting. I tell people, I don't text. All my friends know, don't text Jamila because Jamila does not respond. I've had texts for months and did not even know I had them because I tell people by the time I text, first of all, because mm-hmm. I'm like good at it, I could have gone in the house, cooked a complete dinner, sat down and gone to bed. It takes me too long to do it. Just pick up the phone so I can hear your voice and hear the pain and the joy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get it in a text.
Right,
and it's
right.
convenient for us because we don't want to deal with the emotion. So, oh, let's text so I don't have to deal with the drama of the emotion. But that is so
right,
true.
Right. And I had this thing where you know, for my partner, I said, all right, 10 o'clock, the TV is going off. That's just our time. And we have to go back to creating time for one another because if we don't, oh, my goodness, the fatigue and the hard days at work, you know, we're tired. And, you know, we have to create time. We have to go back to sitting at the table, eating
yes.
a full meal together.
Yes.
You understand? So we need to start doing some of those things that we think that are so archaic, but they're so crucial to having that great relationship. We need to go back to that.
Yes. Yes.
Now,
go
ahead.
That is so true.
No, I know you had talked about Valentine's Day earlier.
mm-hmm.
We
no,
all know the 14th, you know, it's Valentine's Day, and some of you should really save your money. You know, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to say you're trying to get your boo a gift, not to get him a gift, but you, the ones who know that they should save their money, they know who I'm talking to. So instead
mm-hmm.
of stressing over what you should get your boo or how, you know, how about you get real for a second? V-Day should only be celebrated by lovers.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're with someone doesn't automatically make him or her your lover.
Very true.
Okay? So to me, a lover is someone who knows how to love me right, someone who respects me, someone who is there for me, someone who is ready to do what it takes to put a smile on my face after a long day at the office. And I reciprocate the same.
Mm-hmm.
So think about everything that I just said and think of your lover. I mean, is that really your lover? If he were to propose to you today, ladies, if he were to propose to you today, would you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
You've been dating 3-5 years, and why not? Is it you? Is it him? I mean, think about those things. You don't have
mm-hmm.
to follow the commercialization of V-Day just because, you know, but you can take the time out on that day to check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's very true.
It's the perfect time for that. So instead of going out and maxing out your credit card, you know, spending money that you don't have, in buying it just because you're supposed to or expected to, just
mm-hmm.
stay at home, have a nice candlelight dinner, share stories, and talk about your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Talk to your boo. Start having that conversation on Valentine's Day if
mm-hmm.
you haven't already. If you went the whole year and all, you know, you just come home, oh my goodness, it's 6:30, and before you know it, it's 10:30. You haven't had that, you know, nice one-on-one conversation with, you know, with your husband, with your girlfriend, with your boyfriend. Valentine's Day is the perfect day for that. And it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
That's the best part about it, Jamila.
Right. That's why I said do a peace be still bath. And it's just like wonderful and refreshing. And, you know, and rather than going out and thinking you have to be outside with others, just reflect on you and your life.
Yes. Or if you don't have anyone, treat yourself like Jamila said. You don't have to have someone on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with not having someone on Valentine's Day. But if you do have someone, that's the perfect time for you to check yourself and that person. And remember that Valentine's Day doesn't have to be on the 14th. You can
right.
and should try to make every day Valentine's Day despite the minor arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the couples whose marriage lasts 20, 30 years, they've learned that lesson. So
mm-hmm.
we don't have to go through all the drama and madness before we can enjoy our partner. You know, we
mm-hmm.
should really feel, you know, our partner's love every single day, not just on Valentine's Day.
Right.
You know,
right.
and like I said, for those of you who don't have someone, don't feel bad. There's nothing wrong with you not having anyone. Work
mm-hmm.
on you. Work
and
on yourself.
That's the most important love there is. And we've been programmed to always deal with things outside of ourselves. And so the most important love is the love of yourself. And
exactly.
when you really get it, because I got it. I really got it. When you really
mm-hmm.
get it and you give yourself the sleep that you need, the peace that you need, the food that's good for you, the TV shows that are good for you, the music that's good for you, the friends that are good for you, the religion that's good for you. If you're in a religion that's beating you up and telling you you're a worthless sinner, you need to rethink your religion, because that's not who and what God is all about. And some people are worshiping this vengeful, mean God that's waiting, has nothing to do but sit up on his throne and throw thunderbolts at them. So
I don't know who that is, Jamila.
Yeah, I know. There are people.
God.
There are people who believe in that image of God. And I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
how can you be in a religion that shows you a God that's angry and looking for every little flaw that you make in your life to throw thunderbolts at you? That's completely crazy to me. But there are people, or let me just take the word crazy out. To me, that's low vibrational. So, but there are people who believe in that image of God. So that's not helping you. So if you're in a life where you're in all your relationships, you're being debased and humiliated and taught fear, you need to reevaluate that and say, everything in my life is based on fear. You know, I'm afraid to say what I really feel to my husband or to my wife. I'm afraid to stand up to my children because I think that they won't love me. I'm afraid to speak my truth to my boss, to my family members. Every place in your life represents fear. Then you need to ask yourself, are you living or are you just existing? Because I know the Creator that I know and serve, nothing is based on fear. And my being, my universal one, my loved one, my God, says yes to everything that I want. Everything that's for my best and highest good, God has said yes to me. When I look back over my life and I've truly loved myself, the first relationship we need to have is with ourselves and with the God within. I've gotten yeses. Now, when I look to other people to validate me, that's when I've gotten a no.
Right, right.
That's when I get the heartbreaks and everything else, because they can't do for you what you don't do for yourself.
Exactly.
It's just not possible.
You know, that to piggyback on what you're saying, that great relationship, it starts with you.
Right.
You know, it starts with you. If you took the time to really get to know yourself, you there are certain things that those vibrational levels will be so off or so not or nowhere close to your vibrational level that those people won't even stick around.
Exactly. That's so true, Fina. It's true. They can't, because you're vibrating at a frequency and you won't have anything in common with them.
Exactly.
And we misunderstand that. When we see people, we know, because people say, well, we're growing apart. That's the universe's way of saying, either the two of you should get on the same page and correct us,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
he needs to go to his better half, and you need to go to your better half. Your work is done. It's nothing negative. Your work is done.
Right.
You know, you've created a life, your children, or whatever you came to do, and it's time now to go on to someone else. That part of your life is done.
Right.
And people
right.
tend to hold on when they see that. Oh, no, they hold on tighter, and it just gets worse. And it gets worse, and it gets worse, because they don't understand. They misinterpret what they see in front of them. they think that because they're growing apart that it does a negative thing. And it isn't. It means that your work is done and that God has something better in store for that person and for you. And the sooner we let it go, it can happen.
Right. And a lot of that has to do with what we were taught.
Exactly.
And what we've been told. And that's the reason why I said earlier we need to relearn or unlearn some of the things. Not relearn, and unlearn, rather, some of those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we keep looking on the outside where everything starts within. And a lot of people think that's just some kind of gimmick, some kind of crazy thought. But no, it's not. Sit down and really think about it, and you'll see the truth in that.
Yes.
I didn't start having peace until I removed myself from a lot of the madness and craziness and drama and stuff that was going on around me.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so
I would advise
people to take time out for self. Know who you are, and know it's not you being cocky, because you know who you are. There's nothing wrong with you taking time for self, appreciating yourself, and loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
So know who you are and what you want out of life. And for those of you who are of marrying age, or you're dating, or eventually you want to get married, know what kind of marriage you want. Educate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Learn as much as possible about your partner. Get counseling if he has serious issues, and that is so important, something that I cover in my book, because a lot of us don't do that. We bring our problems or traumas or childhood issues into our marriage, and it's killing the marriage. So please get counseling if he has serious issues. Now, you might think that you don't have any issues, but you're angry all most of the time. You're very high-tempered. You know, you can't tell whether you like men or women. Trust me, you got some issues. You need to work on some of those issues before you have your partner join you in your misery. No one wants a miserable life.
Exactly.
No one wants that.
Exactly. And misery loves company. And we always are wanting to seek happiness outside. We're feeling sad. We want someone outside of us to make us happy. And we have to do that within ourselves. Happiness is such joy and love, and I'm learning this day by day. It has nothing to do with anything on the outside of you. There are people who say, if today were not cloudy and cold, I would be happy. Then some people will say, if it weren't shining so much and we have some rain, I would be happy. Because the ego keeps changing the conditions. And it has nothing to do with that. It's a choice that no matter what happens, even if you lose a loved one, I'm choosing to stay connected to my God within, to my universal one within, my source within, because that feeds my soul. That feeds my spirit. And I know no matter what the pain is, if I lose a loved one or a child or my mate, my husband, or whatever, that I'm going to be okay. I will mourn this because it's not really a loss. I will mourn the physical disappearance of this person, but the person lives within my spirit and within my soul. So he or she never leaves me. And that brings me joy because I know that there is nothing on this planet that really leaves you. If you lose money, more money comes to replace it. If you really look at it, people say, I lost some money. If you look back over your life, whatever you release through the universe, you get that and more. People's houses burn down, they get a new house and get new furnishings. So you never really lose anything.
Right.
It's just our perspective. And this thing called Valentine's Day and the love and all that, you don't lose any of that. But, Fina, we only have 7 minutes left, so I want you to leave us with some parting words and with information, contact information.
Sure.
About your wonderful book.
For those of you who would like to contact me, you could send me an email, and my email is before730@gmail.com. Again, that's before730@gmail.com. And for those of you who want to call me, I don't have a problem. You can call me at 678-887-4855. Again, that's 678-887-4855. The book's before 7:30. I'm expecting it to be out in the spring. I'm working out all the there's so much, Jamila, that goes into it. It's not just writing a book. I listened to your show last week when Kim Green was talking about the whole self-publishing thing and mistakes that things that she didn't realize that she had done with the Fantasia story of the royalties.
Right.
And I also listened to Jacqueline Chester, I think is her name.
Yeah.
And with the modeling thing, and they used her picture. I had to take time out, and I have been reading and trying to do my homework. So this
right.
book will not be out until I feel like I am ready and it's ready to be out. So I'm working with my editor now. And so right now we're going for a spring, for it to be out in the spring, but it won't be out until I feel like, okay, this is it. I'm ready out because I want to give everyone a good, you know, a good book, something really good where someone could get something out of it.
Which is really important because, as I said on the show last week, is that we have passion, because I'm an author too, because we want to get our work out there and to communicate with others. However, it's also a business, and I tell people, you can want to get your work out there, but then it's also how you're going to sustain yourself. We're writing
right.
and we're doing our work and acting, whatever it is, but it's also not for free. So we need to have people in place who are going to assist us with this so we won't get taken advantage of and exploited, because as we know, as I said last week, a lot of our elder brothers and sisters were exploited. The lawyers
right.
are very rich, but they are not. Some of them are in retirement homes, and people are raising money for them because they lost everything because they were exploited. So there's no reason for us now in today's time not to be wise in terms of our business. We need to have the passion, but also learn from our elders, because they have said, and TLC said this too, to handle your business. So we need to make sure we have the appropriate, you know, agents and lawyers, and because when we're in the passion of it, we don't think that things can be turned into, you know, a movie or a miniseries. We're not thinking. We just want to get it out. They can see it because they have other clients for whom that has happened. So I strongly advise everybody, and that's what I talked about last week with Prince. Prince was wise. And when he did his, and so Michael Jackson, rather, was extremely wise, and Prince took over his career, too, because he said that's why he had the word slave on his cheek. He saw how he was a slave to the industry and that they had basically stolen from him. And he said, no, let me just go back here and reinvent myself and take over my career. So I'm glad that you did, that you heard that cautionary note from me last week.
Oh, like, yes. I have been
passion
I mean,
is
I've
great,
been reading.
But take over your career. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been reading for, I mean, since I finished reading the book, and I'm a reader, I'm a researcher by nature, so I've been doing that, and I have learned so much. The last thing that I wanted to say to your listeners is, you know, again, do not forget to just be kind to yourself, love yourself, go through that spiritual journey. Go through that spiritual journey and email me and call me if you need to and just let me know how that goes and, you know, look out for the book before 7:30 when it comes out later in the spring.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Fina. Again, the name of her book is Before 7:30. Just a quick moment with that, too, about the title, because we only have about 2 minutes left.
Okay.
The reason you named it Before 7:30.
Well, before the name Before 7:30 just came to me while I was writing the book, and it means before you go crazy. So before you lose your mind, you know, do your homework. Do what you need to do while you're dating so that you don't become the next statistic, that you don't go crazy and get gray hair too early just because you didn't do your homework. You know, everything that happens during your courtship happens for a reason, so pay attention and look out for those signs. And that's what Before 7:30 is. Before you go crazy, the signs that I discussed are the signs that you need to watch out for or acknowledge before you get married.
Well, thank you so much, Fina. I am just so honored to have had you on the show. And it makes my heart feel good when I see young people like yourself who are carrying on the torch and who are just really positively focused, and in spite of having some challenges, you still see the the positive sides, and you still see the wonderful things that life has to offer, and you're changing to do it differently, and you're not stuck in blame and regret and all those other things. I'm just so honored to have had you as a guest on the show. And
thank you,
you're very, very welcome. Next week's show is going to be about Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is the founder of Black History Month, and originally, as I stated before, was Black History Week. So please join us at that time, and please feel free to give Fina a call on the information. The number again, Fina, is
678-887-4855, or email me at before730 or before730@gmail.com.
But thank you so very much, and have a wonderful week, everyone.
From my mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional body. 'Cause I know that spirit guides me, and love lives inside me. That's why today I take life as it comes.